Welcome to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. In this podcast, we'll explore trends, issues, and events surrounding Lutheran education. In each episode, we'll invite educational experts to shed light on topics that support educators, administrators, and staff. Thank you for listening to LSEM's Lutheran Education Podcast.
Welcome to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. My name is Richard Schumacher. I am the Director of Programs and Services for LSEM. And today we are joined by two ladies who really do some amazing things in Lutheran education in supporting our learners in our schools. First, we have Dr. Kim Markshausen. Kim, hello and welcome.
Thank you.
And we also have from LSEM, Kara Bratton joining us on the podcast today again. Kara, good to see you.
Yep, thanks, Rich. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Kara.
So by means of introduction, Kara, why don't you go ahead first and start with just an introduction of who you are and tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself.
So, like Rich said, I'm Kara Bratton. I'm Resource Center Director for LSEM, which basically means I'm in charge of all things special education related when it comes to our ministry and helping support our teachers in that realm.
And Kim, if you could give the listeners a brief introduction to yourself.
Well, I'm a former Lutheran school teacher who now does some teaching in the area of graduate studies, and I'm working on a book on caregiving. But my favorite thing is I'm sometimes a guest speaker for LSEM.
And we are very blessed to have you working with us and, again, helping us to help students around the country in our Lutheran schools. So when we first talked about putting this podcast together, as I've reached out to various people, I've oftentimes had different thoughts on what the topics would be. And I would approach someone and I would say, hey, let's talk about this. There's some expertise. With Kim, it was a little bit different. I saw Kim and I said, we would love to have you on the podcast. You tell me what you want to talk about. So we gave her a clean slate. And so, Kim, if you could just start by talking about the thought process behind the topic that you chose for us to discuss here today.
Well, this is a topic that I speak on quite often. And I just kind of wrap it all up under the idea of another way of being smart. And so basically we're talking about social-emotional skills. But when I have the privilege of speaking to a group of Lutheran teachers, then I can do the important work of pointing out how when we teach the faith to children, we're building their social-emotional skills. And those social-emotional skills, in turn, make them smarter. They help them to make the most out of their ability to learn.
And so when you talk about socio-emotional skills, Kim, give us a definition of that. What does that mean, socio-emotional skills?
Well, it's a pretty big topic, so it can be a lot of different things. In some areas, they call it soft skills, especially in the business world. And in fact, a lot of employers are asking for their employees to have better soft skills. And some of those soft skills have to do with organizing themselves, with self-regulation, being able to direct their emotions and their actions and their focus. But some of the soft skills have to do with how they interact with other people, that they're able to work well together in a group, or they're able to process what people say and not get upset about it, but be able to work with other people.
And I can see how that would be a critical component, especially in an educational setting for a teacher. So important to have that relationability with your colleagues, with administrators, with parents, with students, four really different groups of people, but yet all needing to have that same level of connectivity and relatability with the teacher.
Yes, and we easily forget that we don't learn very much as individuals. we really learn in the context of the situation where we are at. Our brains, God designed them to adjust to our particular lives and to the people around us. So we learn better when we're in context, when we're doing what we need to be learning, and when we're working with others. So if we have problems with focus, if we have problems with working with other people, it directly impedes that learning.
And when it comes to learning in our Lutheran schools, math, reading, social studies, science, all very important, but faith is what sets us apart. So how do you see the teaching of faith being connected to this important socioeconomic skill?
Well, it's very important, and it's one of the first things that I discovered when I was studying these things as I was working on my degree. I just kept thinking, well, Lutheran schools cover that when they teach children how to have unconditional love, or Lutheran schools cover that when they teach children about the importance of repentance and growing from your mistakes. It just shows up again and again. It's so easy to think of integrating the faith as just simply being about putting a Bible story into every lesson. And good Lutheran teachers know that it goes much deeper than that. It's our outlook on life that impacts our teaching, but it's also the recognition that when we, like it says in Matthew, when we seek the important things first, the rest come to us. And when we remember that sharing the faith and teaching children these important skills like unconditional love and trust and hope and all of these things, those are the most important things. And so they permeate all of our teaching. And I just love this idea then that God brings back to that the fact that when we teach those things, we improve their socio-emotional skills, that he's designed that automatic. We don't have to add in extra things for teaching this. We just need to give ourselves permission to spend more time teaching the faith.
So along those lines, Kim, what are the aspects of faith that you feel we're teaching that support social emotional skills?
Well, as I thought through it, I thought of quite a few different ones, but I think the three most important ones are unconditional love, and repentance, and trust. Because these are three areas that when we can make them stronger for children, that really improves their mindset or the way they even approach learning. And these are three things that are really backed up also by good theory in educational psychology.
Now, when you look at just the state of schools across the country today, and not only in Lutheran schools, but public schools, so much time is spent on bullying prevention. So much worry is put into school safety with the different shootings and other violence that we've seen in our schools. It seems to me, Kim, and touch on this if you would a little bit, that these three things would have tremendous value at any level, in any school setting, Christian or not.
Oh, definitely, because we're really counteracting the lower levels of socio-emotional skills. So when I started teaching in the 1980s, and I like to make sure that we all understand it was the 1980s, not the 1880s, because I am old. But when I started teaching then, I didn't really have to worry so much about socio-emotional skills. There was a lot less anxiety. And kids played outside more. They spent less time in front of a screen. They spent less time with their time orchestrated by their parents. So they had a lot more free time. And so a lot of those social-emotional skills developed on their own. And when kids came to school, then the weak areas, just like with any kind of academics, would pop up and they could be addressed. But now it seems as if our children are coming to school without these kind of skills in their backpack. There's more children who are delayed in those socio-emotional skills, and that impacts other learners in the classroom, too.
Do you think that while we're seeing this trend with students today in our classrooms, again, you having started teaching in the 1980s, you've probably seen over the course of time this trend start to become more and more prevalent. That's an awful lot of time for us to have not only students in our schools, who aren't as prepared at these things, but now teachers as well. Do you see any concerns with teachers not having these same skills, and how does that further impact the structure within the classroom when it comes to socio-emotional skills?
Well, if we take a look at anxiety, for instance, there's a lot more anxiety for students. There's a lot more anxiety for teachers. There's also a lot more anxiety for parents. And if anxiety's on the table, then that impacts anything else. It makes it harder for parents and teachers to work together as a team because they're both concentrating on their anxiety. And it's hard for teachers to work with students to help them to lower their anxiety. So when we look at bullying issues, and we look at school shooting issues, and we look at also the anxiety brought on about this high-stakes testing, which has even begun to infiltrate in the Lutheran schools, this idea that our kids aren't going to be good enough unless they score high on every test that we give them. That just increases that anxiety. And I find again and again that anxiety impacts not only learning, it impacts behavior. When I teach undergraduates, I tell them if you've got a discipline situation in the classroom that is hanging on, that's resisting your usual method, take a look and see if it's anxiety, because it just seems to permeate everywhere.
And so, Kara, having had a chance to work with any number of schools around the country, what do you see in terms of this impact in our classrooms? How are you seeing anxiety and the need for unconditional love, repentance, trust? How are you seeing those things impacting our students in our schools?
I see it in a lot of the same ways Kim has described, but especially to me, the anxiety seems to be, I would say, number one question that I've been asked, especially in the last year or two, seems particularly with middle school and high school students in terms of, again, just getting homework done, juggling everything that needs to be done in a day with sports, academics, and everything like that, that, you know, students are, you know, just running with high anxiety that I don't think we, you know, saw years ago. And so I think like Kim said, all of that comes back to these socio-emotional skills that, you know, kids are lacking and may not be getting the same kind of support at home either.
And I'll ask you both this question. Are the teachers that are coming to you with these concerns as well-equipped as they need to be to be able to deal with this, or are they relying upon intuition or past experiences too much in dealing with this?
I personally don't see that teachers have a lot of the tools needed to deal with this, or else they wouldn't be asking me.
True.
And to be honest, this I tell most of the teachers who ask me, this is not my area of expertise, too. This is definitely more Kim's area, which is another reason we use her and utilize her. So I'll let her chime in with her thoughts on what she tells teachers, too.
I think this has become one of my most requested topics for speaking, because when I'm done speaking, I have so many teachers who come and talk to me and say, you know, you've really described my classroom. You've really described my situation. And so, yeah, no, we're not equipped with it. And I wouldn't even say as experts we're equipped, because this has been, I think, a pretty dramatic change. You know, we can go back to 1980 and say that's not that long of a time, but really I would say it's been like the last about 15 years. And in education, that's a very fast change for something so dramatic. What I like about this topic, though, is that I can reassure teachers that because they have been trained to teach the faith, and because the Spirit does work in them to share their faith, that they are equipped. But what they need sometimes is a better understanding of what's happening and how to apply that teaching.
You're listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast, sponsored by LSCM. And again, we have Dr. Kim Markshausen with us, chronically unemployed, as she likes to describe herself, although we're so very thankful that her chronic unemployment allows her to speak with so many groups around the country and to work with us, alongside Kara Bratton as well from Lutheran Special Education Ministries, our Resource Center Director here. Kim, What happens in a classroom if a child does not feel unconditional love?
I mean, that's a really important question. And I think it's something that we just don't always consider. So if a child does not feel unconditional love, then that raises their anxiety because they don't know what's going to happen. It makes it difficult for them to trust the teacher because they've got to trust the teacher in order for learning to happen. Unconditional love is something that we show infants right from the beginning and that we respond to them when they cry. And as they grow older, we always respond. We don't always give them what they want, but they know they're always going to get that response. That's that very beginning of that unconditional love. So if you have a child in the classroom, and I've worked with a particular child in that regard before who came to me from a public school classroom, and in that public school classroom, because she had a lot of difficulties, she came from a traumatic situation, but they had her on a whole bunch of behavior charts. And so she didn't ever know at any given moment if she was doing the right thing until she got a sticker for it or some kind of response. We want children in the classroom to know that even if they're doing the wrong thing, they're still loved and respected and valued. And that is something that we do as Lutheran teachers because God loves us unconditionally. He doesn't leave our sins go, but he's always there. And no matter how many times we sin, he brings us back to him. So that's a powerful thing that we give children in the classroom.
And so on the flip side then, what happens, what changes in that classroom then when students do receive and feel that unconditional love?
I think one of the most important things is that now they know they have a safety net. Because we can't learn anything from math to reading to how to interact with our peers or how to obey the teacher's rules. We can't learn any of that unless we try, unless we're willing to try, and we're going to make mistakes. And so when a child knows that if they make a mistake, or even if they hurt a friend, that there's going to be consequence, but that the friend and the teacher will still love them, now they're willing to try. Now, I don't mean to say that we're encouraging them to do naughty things, because as teachers, we don't want them to do that. But they have to be willing to try things in order to learn. And, of course, we know that's true in any kind of academics, too. I mean, I certainly learned that lesson working on a computer. I can't sit in front of a computer and have someone teach me everything on that computer. I have to try. I have to be willing to make mistakes and to know that somehow that computer, that inanimate object will forgive me, or my son will come and fix it for me, one or the other.
Yeah, or you can just hit that great big wipe button to kind of reset everything and go back to the start, which is probably a pretty good analogy for the way God forgives us. That forgiveness is complete and clean, and we go back to the factory reset. So kind of a nice image for that. You're listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast, sponsored by LSCM. We will be back in just a moment after a quick word from Lutheran Special Education Ministries.
Lutheran Special Education Ministries is an organization committed to serving schools, churches, and families to advance the success of children who have learning needs. Our commitment to this mission began with the opening of the Lutheran School for the Deaf in Detroit. Over the years, our ministry has expanded, and today LSEM is proud to serve in Lutheran schools across the country. But as our ministry has grown, our commitment to helping students succeed academically in an environment where they can also grow spiritually is as strong as ever. So if your church or school is looking for professional development for your faculty, information to share with struggling families, or for a ministry partner to support an existing resource room or start a new one, LSEM is ready to help you meet your specialized learning goals. For more information about how LSEM can help you build brighter futures for your students, please contact us at 248-419-3390 or visit our website at www.luthsped.org. That's www.luthsped.org.
And welcome back to the Lutheran Education Podcast, sponsored by LSEM. I'm Rich Schumacher from LSEM, along with Dr. Kim Markshausen and Kara Bratton. The topic is talking about another way of being smart. And specifically looking at unconditional love and how that can be used in a classroom. So question for both of you. We'll start with Kara. What do you suggest to teachers who are looking to find ways to utilize unconditional love better in their classrooms?
Well, so I think that the big thing with the teachers I work with at LSEM is, again, they're special education teachers. So working with children who, again, are not typical in some ways, and that could be behavior. It could be, you know, again, behavior comes through that just doesn't make sense at the time, that frustrates teachers, or, you know, kids might have trouble understanding a concept and teachers might get frustrated, kids might get frustrated. So I think the big thing with unconditional love for our special ed teachers in our schools is, one, just trying to separate the emotion and then also trying to separate the actions from the child. So again, separating your emotions as a teacher, you know, you're getting frustrated, you might be getting agitated, losing patience with a child. But if a child is seeing that, then again, that's not helping their anxiety. Like Kim said, that's probably raising their anxiety more because they're not feeling that unconditional love. So I think, you know, making a dedicated effort to, you know, separate that emotion and also separate the actions from the child. Sometimes when I hear a teacher say, you know, oh, well, that's the child that always misbehaves, or, you know, that's the kid that throws things. Again, trying to separate that from the actual child, but trying to get to the bottom of the behavior rather than associating that behavior with the child himself or herself.
Kim, can you add to that?
Yeah, Karen's just right on target with that, because it's just so easy for us to be in a law mode and only see a child's behavior. And the law is very useful in the classroom because we use it as a curb and a mirror and as a guide with children to help them to come out of those maladaptive behaviors. But if we're only focusing on that law, and as Kara said, only thinking about those behaviors, then we're not expressing grace to these children as much as we could. And I think for teachers especially, because it's a unique profession where we spend a lot more time in the law. So if I worked at a bank, I wouldn't be teaching my fellow employees how to line up or to wait quietly in line at the drinking fountain. I mean, there's just so many times for teachers when they need to be training children and doing law, and it's all very good law. But I think that's our weakest area, is when we forget about the grace. And as Kara was talking about, the grace is, I call it walking into the garden, because after Adam and Eve sinned, God knew they sinned, but he walked into the garden anyway, and he came to them. And as teachers with children having difficulties, we walk into the garden when we sit and with that child, and we look at the behavior, and we look at what is the reason for it. When is it happening? What can I do that can help this child to get control over this particular aspect?
And, you know, Kim, I was struck with this thought as you were going into this description of the law. And it seems that as classroom teachers, we've become so focused. When we hear the word law, we go immediately to all of the legalities, the civil law, if you will, and our understandings of what we need to do to meet all of those things, and not necessarily the biblical definition of law. And what struck me in that was civil law has consequences. It always leads to consequences. If you do this, then this will happen. If you do that, then you'll be held accountable to this degree. But
unless you're a politician.
but in the gospel, we find grace, we find forgiveness, we find safety, we find love, and the law points us to the gospel. It gives us that understanding that we need that Savior. And what an important distinction, obviously, for being in a Lutheran school, but as a teacher as well, when it comes to our use of the law in our classroom, I think we sometimes lose sight of the fact that it's designed not to lead to a consequence, but to lead back to a reconciliation, biblically through Christ, but academically in our classrooms through coming back together to a safe spot to move forward.
Right. And I also think that when we look at that secular idea of law, even in the classroom, we can become confused about what's law and what's grace. So in the secular classroom, in a public school, they're wanting to balance criticism with praise. So if you criticize a child, you should praise them a certain number of times to kind of offset that. And there's some good research behind that. But what we need to remember as Lutheran teachers is that both of those things are law. We just don't always think of the law in a positive way. But when I praise a child, I'm still talking about whether or not they've met the standards. I'm not talking about what God has done for them. So I think that is another sneaky way that we maybe mark off in our head that we're doing grace when, in fact, we're neglecting it a little bit. And, I found that increasing grace in the classroom or being more aware of it is one of the best ways of helping with those social-emotional skills. Because it's as if God is helping that child to understand you are safe here, and the teacher who is working with you is going to not only use the law to show you what to do, but is going to be there to help you and to love you.
And that's such a critically important thing for our students to be able to know, because it allows us that understanding that, yeah, while we're not perfect and while we make mistakes, that's not going to be the end. That's not going to be the ultimate stop for our ability to have this learning relationship and this personal relationship with our teachers. But it's taking... the way I always love hearing this described, Kim, I know you're a big University of Michigan fan. Just your block M is a big red N. But they always talk there about, let's not turn a one-day problem into a two-day problem. And in a classroom, I think it's important to utilize that same sort of an idea where, okay, you've had a bad start to the day. Call it an hour, call it a half hour, call it a first period. Well, let's limit that, and let's not at 9 a.m. say, I'm having a terrible day. Well, you've still got so much day left to go. Let's redirect that now to where, no, you had a bad hour. Let's have a good rest of the morning, and then at noon, maybe we're 50-50 and we can pull ahead here in the afternoon.
Well, I'm just kind of lost in that football analogy, especially because we're rooting for the wrong team. But otherwise, I definitely agree with you, because I think basically what you're talking about is reframing. And so looking at a situation and saying, this is difficult right now. But instead of staying stuck in that idea, we look at what can I learn from this and what can change and what can get better. And that's definitely grace talking, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, Kim, kind of to wrap up this topic of unconditional love and another way of being smart, what faith tool do you feel we have that would help a child feel that sense of belonging?
Well, I would really probably go back to law and grace. If we compare a Lutheran classroom again to a public school classroom, they have law and law. And, of course, law is a good tool. And I would never say that public school teachers aren't loving their children or caring for them. I supervise practicum students, and so I'm in the public school all the time. And I see wonderful teachers caring for their students. But they're not able to express and go that next step and say, it's not just about me loving you, it's that God loves you. And just like I'm working with you to help you to get better, God is working with me to not only help me to help you, but to help me to get better too. It makes a completely different atmosphere in the classroom, because it's not about the teacher as a judge, it's about the teacher as a facilitator and as a guide. This is really important, because unconditional love helps kids to develop that sense of empathy. And we hear that term thrown around quite a bit. Now, empathy is important, But empathy is more than about caring for other people and being kind. Empathy is about being able to see things from someone else's perspective. And so when I used to teach this to undergrads, I'm going to bring up a football analogy here for Rich. And we're going to imagine that the Huskers are playing Michigan State. Michigan State is behind. So, but I talk to them about how the players on the team, they're watching when that ball is snapped. They're watching for that movement. And they can sink themselves into the opposing team's mindset. So they know what's going to happen. And we call that abstract thinking or counterfactual thinking. So as we love these children and as we show them God's love, we're also teaching them about empathy. And that is abstract thinking too.
I'm just basking in the thought of Michigan State losing to Nebraska. So I love that analogy.
It's going to happen.
Well, please, by all means, any losses you can provide to Michigan State and Ohio State, I'm happy to receive them. I was really struck, too, where when you talked about that difference between public school educators and Lutheran educators. In our role at LSEM, Kara and I have interviewed countless public school educators for our positions in Lutheran schools, retirees or people who are looking to make a change. And we're always amazed when we ask the question about how would you model your faith life in your classroom. So many of those teachers, who again are active Christians, very committed to their churches and active in their congregations and have a faith life, are just dumbfounded at that question because they've never allowed themselves the chance to even think about what that answer might be or how they could do it. And they're almost giddy with excitement over the idea that I can take this thing, which is so important to me as a person, and finally share it, model it, demonstrate it with my students in my classroom. It's like they can't wait to figure out how they're going to do it, but because of the law, they have been prohibited from even trying to think about ways to initiate that. So it's just a really cool and eye-opening thing for us to see when teachers are given that opportunity to share something which they've been prohibited from sharing for so long.
They understand when I tell, for instance, Lutheran teachers, I know you're sharing grace with your children, but I want you to do it more out loud. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is something that these teachers would understand because they would be showing grace to their children, but they can't talk about it. They can't connect it to other things.
And to have that opportunity to be able to not even be subtle or discreet about it, but to be just open out there sharing that love of Christ, what an amazing gift. And your time has been an amazing gift, Kim, and we thank you for that. Hey, if someone's listened to this podcast and they got inspired by some of the things that you've said, how would they get in touch with you to be able to further this discussion or to perhaps have you come out to their place and have that conversation?
Well, I do have a website, so if they Google my name, my website has my two blogs. I have a devotional blog called Stepping Out in Faith, and a parenting blog called Faith Parent. But my email is up on that blog, and they're welcome to contact me. But it's also kim@markshausen.net.
All right. And Kara, if someone wanted to reach out for more information about you or LSEM?
Again, probably the easiest way is our website, which is luthsped.org. You could submit an inquiry there, and it will get to me, either that or my email is kbratton@luthsped.org.
Okay. Ladies, thank you both for your time and for the conversation on unconditional love. As Kim had mentioned earlier, this is part one of a three-part series that we're going to be doing on the Lutheran Education Podcast. So look forward to part two coming up, where we're going to talk about repentance as another way of being smart. But until then, thank you for listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries.
Oh my God, I know you know me.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. To hear future episodes, please subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. For more information on this episode's topic or any other questions regarding Lutheran education or Lutheran special education ministries, please feel free to contact us at 248-419-3390 or visit our website at www.luthsped.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Oh, Lord, my God, I know.